Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Shei Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Can I just bless the Lord? And just lift up your hands and tell the Father we thank you and bless your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, all God Almighty. The heavens are filled with your praise and glory. Perfect, perfect in power, perfect in beauty. Bless your name, our Maker, the Creator of heavens and the earth, the possessor of everything. It is in you we live, we move, and we have our being. We bless you, Father. We bless you. We join the angels and the witnesses in heaven to acknowledge the power, might, and dominion and glory is yours for all of eternity. We join them to pay obeisance to he that sits above the circles of the earth. We pay obeisance to him who is eternal in the heavens. The one whose word stands fast and stands for thousands of generations. The one who has eternity living on his inside. We pay obeisance to you this morning. We worship the Ancient of Days. And the Bible said, and he saw the Ancient of Days, these seats. And thrones were prepared. And judgments were pronounced. I pray this morning that, Father, you will judge in the midst of your church unrighteousness. You will judge ways that are not right. You will judge thought patterns that are out of the way. And you will bring everything into alignment in the name of Jesus. We pray you will bring us into a place of glorifying you, that we may serve you without fear all the days of our lives in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that this morning you will help me. You will grant me utterance to speak your word faithfully and to speak it in a way that will bring not only understanding, to come with an impartation to act in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the inspiration and thank you for the ability to convey this thought of your majesty. We declare that you are holy in this place. We open the portals of heaven upon this assembly today, that angels may ascend and descend, ministering to the ears of salvation. In the name of Jesus, we shut every other portal that is not of God, every altar that is shouting. We shut you down in the name of Jesus. We bind the powers of the air operating in the atmosphere. We declare that you have no lot or portion in this place. Everyone that has been influenced, we cut off that influence. We ask that eyes will open into the dimensions of faith. Hearts will swear in that realms of faith, and we'll begin to see what natural eyes and mind cannot comprehend. I thank you, my Father. because we preach together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've received the Lord wants me to speak about and address the constant challenges we face in life. Every day we go out there and we face challenges. From the days of Adam, after Adam was driven out of the garden, there is no way it was ever recorded that man cried and called upon the name of the Lord. Amen. They just kept living their lives. In fact, the Bible says there was a man called Cain, the son of Adam, the firstborn of Adam, who left the presence of God. May you never leave the presence of God in Jesus' name. Men can leave God's presence. You can walk out on God and they won't locate you again. As far as heaven is concerned, you'll be lost. The Bible says the man walked out from God's presence and walked out into a world without a God. And Cain created a God for himself and began to worship the works of his own hands. How do I know that? The Bible says the man built for himself a city. He built for himself a city and named him after his firstborn son. Hallelujah. And from that day, men began to live their lives without God. And so I know it's possible to live your life without God. You can solve your problems without God. You can go through this life without, you don't need him. Because everything you really need to take care of your needs are here. Hallelujah. And above all, there is happiness. Amen. If you are sufficiently well schooled in the art of happiness, you can get your way and have your way. But the Bible says a time came when the descendant of Seth began to call upon the name of the Lord. And that is quite instructive because, listen to me, it's a choice you have to make. Whether you will live your lives the way you want to do it, or you will ask for assistance. It takes a lot of humility to ask for assistance, acknowledging that you are a species of need. Praise the Lord. You wonder why you don't have a lot of married men in churches, especially churches that preach righteousness. You know why? Because these men can't come to the place where they can trust God. It is by their works and the might of their ability and their craft that they must make money. So when you come to a place where they tell you, you cannot operate with craft, they don't like it. But they prefer to send their wives or their children to that place. The Lord will deliver the men in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the recurring problem of Israel has been this problem of trusting God for help. It has been a recurring decimal in the history of Israel, and it's still a recurring decimal in our own personal histories. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And to this morning, I need to remind us of the dangers of trusting in the arm of flesh. In fact, in case you don't know, there is a scripture that says that cursed be he who puts his trust in flesh. It's a curse that is running around the earth. Then you begin to understand why many people on the mountains have issues. Because ab initio, and fundamentally, they are men of strength. They are men of might. What do I mean by that? They are men that have confidence in flesh. They just use God to assuage their consciences. Omas Ogbemi Osoro, we are God, Alpha, but that is all by. And God can't be deceived. Can you project Isaiah 30 verse 5 and 7? I want to read Isaiah chapter 30, 5 and 7. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help, nor profit, but a shame and also reproach. Verse 7. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore, I have cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Our nature is not to sit still. Our nature is to look for a way. Immediately you run into a crisis, your mind, especially if you are well trained, begins to engage itself. Praise God, Lord. You begin to reason. How do I go through this stuff? Who do I talk to? How many of you have ever been, look, you won't know. But if you have ever been stopped before by a policeman on the highway, hallelujah, and they say, park. What are your particulars? And you know your particulars are not complete. Amen. The first thing you will think about are the Egyptians. Who do I know? Then you hear, you don't know me. I will show you today. What is it? Why I communicate to him? You have legs somewhere. Then you pick your phone. Commissioner for... Are you the... Am I speaking to the commissioner for police? The guy knows he's in really very bad trouble. I don't know whether I'm making sense. It's our... So, what betide you in this nation if you don't know anybody? You have to know people. Praise God. You have to have connections. But the truth is that that was a problem that Israel had. They had connections. Now, are connections bad? No. Are you with me? Connections are not bad. But they become bad when your first default response are connections. Immediately Israel ran into trouble, the first persons they remember were the Egyptians. And they ran to the Egyptians to tell the Egyptians, we need your help. And the Egyptians told them, why not? We are friends. What are friends for? Hallelujah. How many of you have ever had your friends become commissioner for finance? And your people come and meet you and say, oh, Tishoriri. Because your friend, who is a friend of your friend, is now dear. Because it's your own turn to chocolate. It happens to us all the time. And to take God to help us. That our first response to any situation should not be flesh. Except for the Egyptians are helping. Somewhere said the Egyptians are men. Isaiah chapter 31. Let me read verses 1 and 2. Yet he also is wise. That is God. Woe to them that do what? That go down to Egypt. Every time a man is backsliding, the Bible says he goes down. Remember brother Jonah. And Jonah went down. May you not go down. He was up before. Where was up? God's presence. But Jonah went down. He went to Ife. Amen. And I went to Alagbaka. God says, woe to them. These things have not changed though. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for what? For help. And stay on what? Horses. And trust in chariots. Because they are what? They are many. Listen to me. You can't fight modern warfare in those days if you don't have chariots. It's like you going to fight Boko Haram with Shaka Bula. You must be kidding me. In fact, Boko Haram people will laugh. And laugh and laugh. Then he will say, wait, let us go and do party. We'll come back and meet you. Praise the Lord. Because without chariots, you don't have an advantage on the battlefield. It makes sense, doesn't it? That you should buy chariots. You should look for those that have the chariots. Hallelujah. So you are sure that victory will come. But do you know the principle of tithe? Many of us, we think that tithing is just money. Not necessarily so. Tithing is an acknowledgement that God comes first. You are telling God that in my life, you come first.
That's why I've come to honor you. Now, if you will pay tithe, why is that when you want to make a decision, it doesn't come first? There's a disconnect somewhere. Am I making sense? In everything, the Bible says, acknowledge him. And what will he do? And he will do what? He will direct your paths. It doesn't get involved if there is no acknowledgement. Said because they trusted in chariots. How did David say that some trust in horses and some in chariots? Said, but we will trust. We made up our minds to trust. It's a deliberate decision that you must begin to live by. It must become your policy. Amen. Now, there may be reasons why God may not, because let me tell you the truth, there are no guarantees really that God may show up. I hope that's not blasphemy. Because that's how it works. You are not sure. The Hebrew young men told Nebuchadnezzar, he said, we will not bow down because we know our God is powerful. Hallelujah. But in case he doesn't show up, God, what thing will not change? Paul was writing to the Hebrew church in that chapter. He said, you have not resisted sin to the point of shedding your blood. There were people in Hebrews 11 who resisted sin to the point that they had to shed their blood. They said some refused deliverance. It was not that God could not help them. For best reasons known to God, he just chose not to deliver them. Amen. But the testimony was that even at the point of dying, they didn't stop trusting God. They did not lose confidence in God. They did not come to the place where they say, God, disappoint me. You know what that man told Elisha? He said, I thought you would come out. Then you will wave your hand. Then you will say some incantation. Then I will be healed. But God does not have to do things the way you want it. He may even allow you to go into that water and that. It was when you are inside the water, it will not show up. But will you still, at the point of drowning, be saying, God, I just bless you because I trust you. I want to trust your decision. It is interesting. Well, maybe you don't have a choice. But is it interesting that many of you came to church this morning? I never checked whether that chair will carry your weight. Did you notice you never did? How many of you did? When you came to church and said, you did quality control test. Okay. If I won't disappoint myself. Did you do that? Default position. You just knew. Why can't you transfer that same mindset to dealing with God? That I trust you. Even if they were killing you, say, I know that what you are doing is for my good. The Bible says all things work together for what? For good. Can you just trust God and say, God, I know this is for my good? Even though it was not God that caused it all, many of our problems were caused by foolishness. We ran into the problem because we were not thinking straight. But even at that, he said, I will not leave you. Neither will I do what? Forsake you. So there must be a default position that God has. Not only is it done. How did that man that had leprosy? How did he tell Jesus? Jesus, if you will heal me, I will be healed. And just like I said, not only am I willing, I also can. Do you understand? Not only is God willing to help you and bless you, God has the ability to do so. So you must have this position that God should be the first point of reference every time you run into a crisis. A question is posed to you. What should be your first? God, I thank you. Even though you know the answer to the question, I ask you to guide my thoughts. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, what do you think he's talking about? He said it's an attitude of dependence. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether I'm communicating this morning. And in us men, because they are very strong. Praise the Lord. But they look not what? Unto the Holy One of what? Israel. Neither seek the Lord. We will never be tired of singing the song of Jehoshaphat. You remember his story? Three nations came against Jehoshaphat. And the Bible says, and when Jehoshaphat heard the story, he did what? He feared. Then what was his response position? He ran into the temple and began to cry on God. There were other kings who had the same situation. This referred to another king who had the same situation but chose to go to Egypt. Kings of the same nation, different time periods, similar situation but different responses. So I want to encourage us this morning. I just came basically to encourage us. For those of you who will be starting exams tomorrow, and for those of us who will be starting another week of work, facing challenges again tomorrow, God is our present help. He is our present help. The psalmist said, I will look unto the hills. Where will my help come from? Now, the hills are places of refuge. They are places of defense. But when he said, I will look up to these, not that the help was coming from the hills. He said that even though I look to the hills, my help will come from the hills. He said, my help coming from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. They did not look to the Holy One of Israel, neither did they seek the Lord. Verse 2. He said, but he also is wise. And what will he do? He will bring evil. May God not send you evil. It's easy for you to deal with Satan than for you to deal with God. Because if it is Satan, you can handle him. You know that. You know there are promises you can mash up. It is written. No weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. Every thought that rises against me in judgment, I do what? Stand. They will respond. Amen. But when God sends it, you can quote all the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation and backwards again. It didn't answer. You remember Paul. Paul said, when this messenger of Satan buffeted me, I went to seek the Lord. You know, before he went to seek, he had been dealing with the demon before he remembered the Lord. He had bound, he had loosed, he had cast, he had uprooted, he had released, he had built, the demon didn't go. He said, okay, well, I'll be really stubborn. Then I'm going to meet God. And Jesus said, no, I sent it. So when Jesus said, pray that you will be not led into temptation, get any common sense. Right? Only send it into temptation. Did God not lead Jesus into temptation? Pastor, come. And the Bible says, and Jesus was led into the wilderness to be what? To be tempted. Cherish it to me, Oluwa. So pray that you are not led. They can lead you. Okay, boast, boys, you boast. Let's go and see whether you will stand. But even in that, even if they lead you into it, you must remember that God is still your helper. This thing you have said me to come and do, you know this exam, it was you who wrote the exam. You know, it's very interesting that when lecturers write the exam and questions, he's the one who knows the real answer. I had a friend that time, when in exam, he would call the lecturer, say this question, what were you trying to say? Were you trying to say this, or this, or this, or this? By the time the man said this, what I'm saying, he has given him the answer. The rest of us will be grumbling. It's happening, yeah. They said you both that develop pencil. Israel has the razor now. Amen. All the keys of the earth are in his hands. There is no problem he can't unlock. He said, I have the keys of David. So whatever problem you come across, your first response is, Lord, what do I do? How do I respond? How do I deal with this matter? Hallelujah. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them. Now, what was iniquity in this matter? What was evil in this matter? Because they did not seek the Lord. There is no place that the Bible said they were killing children. No. There is no place that the Bible said they were bombing people. No. Praise the Lord. I hope you are with me. There's nothing that suggests that these people were not going to church. What was evil in this matter? They didn't seek the Lord. And so God said he will rise against them as an adversary. There are many people that God is resisting. It is not Satan that is resisting them. The best way to kill God's people is to have them go against their God. That's what says that if God be for you, who can be against you? Then I ask the question, if God be against you, who can be for you? And the best way to get God against you is for you to walk in unbelief. It is his natural default response. How did he say it in the book of James? He said, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Once you have been declared an enemy of the state, your case requires serious intercession. The kind of intercession that Moses made, said, forgive them. God said, I will forgive them. I said, Lord, forgive them. He said, I will forgive them. Then I remove my name from the book of life. That's the kind of situation that can save you. Don't let us push it that far. Praise the Lord. Let us learn. Let us make it our practice. I know it's easy. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to get into a place where that you'll be a religious freak or you become religious. There's this word I'm trying to find. I can't locate it now. But just fill in the blank space. Amen. Dear brother, St. Peter will find this for me. People have been shut down. Because, look at your simple teaching. They will not eat except the Lord tells them to eat. Lord, this morning, should I eat or I should not eat? Lord, should I go to the toilet or should I go to the toilet? What is this psychological problem? What is this psycho? What is this? And that's the best way of Satan. Satan pushes people into the extreme and shuts down your mind that your mind can't work. No, I'm not asking you to do that. Rather, I'm saying that for everything you want to do, the Bible says acknowledge the Lord. Even if the answer is, if the answer came to your mind, acknowledge that the Holy Ghost put it there. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the answer. I thank you for you giving me what I can do. Because say, I will give you a wisdom and a mouth that your adversaries will not be able to gainsay. So if you have an eye, if the thing just comes to your mind, know it was the Holy Ghost. So don't say, well, you know, what was the sin of the king of Tyros? He said, you are wise, your wisdom. He said, you are even wiser than Daniel. You can solve mysteries. And that's where the danger lies. I won't forget late Governor Agagu. I always refer to him. He was telling pastor, say, I can't pray. But Sabi did. It was that Sabi that Mimiko took him out. And that's the way God does. He said, when the wicked has stopped, or the destroyer has stopped destroying, he said he will raise another destroyer. So it's a perpetual circle. He raises a destroyer, he destroys this guy. The guy that is now on top, they bring another destroyer, they destroy him, and he keeps on going like that. And that's, it has come to Jonathan. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And if Wari does not acknowledge him, they'll raise another destroyer to destroy him too. And that's how they'll be destroying them until the kingdoms will one day become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So that you don't fall into the trap that men have fallen into in the past. Let us come into the place of acknowledging. Look, this thing is not religious. It's not, praise the Lord. I want it to just become our way of life. Don't attach, just like we said this morning, this is not traditions of men. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just a practice. It's just your, amen. I mean, for example, if you are living in my house, I expect by all means that when you wake up, you should greet me. Is it wrong? You should expect that I want to come to your room and get Carol, D.Y. I won't do that. Even I come to your room to wake you up, I won't say good morning. I said that by the time your eyes is opening, it should just come out of your mouth. Naturally. Amen. So why will you not have that natural response to God? It says, if I be a father, is in Malachi chapter 1. Now, it says a son honors his father. This is God alluding to something natural here. Praise God. A son does what? Honors his father. And what? And who? And a servant is master. He now said, if then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is what? My fear. So, look at it from the perspective of nature. It is customary, that naturally, when you see your father or your mother or any other person who is superior to you, you should do what? Honor. Now, no matter how much I don't like Mimiko, if I see him coming, I will stand. So that I don't say tomorrow, the pastor is hypocrite. You don't understand. So you must give honor to whom honor is due. It's not him as a person that I'm honoring. I'm honoring on those states. Because he's the embodiment of the state. So when he comes in, Your Excellency, you are welcome. What I will not do for him is make him want to sit among pastors. I won't give him that honor. He'll go and sit among the first timers. Yes. This is the house of God. It's not government house. If there's no space there, we'll have to sit next row. Praise God. Of course, he won't come back here. He won't drop offering. But for offering's sake, we must bring him to God. When I asked the usher, did he come with heavy loop and bag? Say, came with big one. Go and give him seat here. Because those things, there's a weight. It stirs up anointing. Amen. He will be happy with himself. That you now come and talk to the people of God. It shouldn't happen again. It is Yoruba that said, well, not because what you eat, no more. Oh, we're going to call our senior brother. Okay. Praise the Lord. So if we honor men, what is our problem that we can't honor God? Honor God is not in the dancing. The worship in the spirit and truth is not in coming to church alone. Coming to church is just one component of your life. Praise the Lord. How many hours do we spend in church, by the way? 4 hours at most. What do you do with the remaining 20 hours? Am I talking to you? Let us cultivate this habit of acknowledging Him in everything we do. Let us honor Him. If we honor our natural fathers, let us honor our heavenly Father. Let it not just be that when we come to church, that's when we remember our Father, hallowed be thy name. Let us hallow His name in our day-to-day things. As we take on the challenges of life, let us acknowledge Him. And you'll be shocked how He will direct your paths. You'll be shocked how He will teach you what you ought to do. Pastor, he said, I was sharing testimonies with me. How God has intervened times without number in his life. I'm looking forward to hearing your own testimony of what the Lord did for you. Miracles are not just done arbitrarily to people. What people call luck is not luck. Somebody paid a price to get that thing for him or her. Praise the Lord. Let us fear Him. How do you fear Him? He said you depart from evil. When you see evil and you don't depart from Him, you don't fear God. And that's why I want to tell you, young men and young women, you don't marry a man or a woman not because he or she is fine or beautiful. You don't marry him or her because he has potentials. You don't marry him or her because he has talent. Amen. you know, America has got talent. No, it's not talent. It is he or she that fears God. If a man does not fear God, don't marry him. If a woman does not fear God, don't marry her. It's fear. So how he or she responds to day-to-day affairs of life will enable me to know whether he or she fears God or not. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. For those of you going to do exams tomorrow, please, I beg you, don't do giraffe. Don't do cooperation. Don't do assistance. Help no man in exam. You can help before exam. Amen. You can help after exam, but not in an exam hall. Let them threaten you. Tell them when we meet outside, we'll continue the discussion. Don't let it be, I don't want to hear that any of you was caught in exam hall for exam malpractice. It will be a slap, not only on my own face, but on God's face. Let us honor God. Even if you carry it over, do it with dignity. Hallelujah. The end does not justify the means. The means justifies the end. Is that okay? The Lord will bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Let us pray, committing our ways into the hands of God.
He has promised he will never fail. I will hang on him. I will hang on him. He has promised he will never fail. His faithfulness is forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore. He has promised, he has promised, he will never fail, never fail. I will hang on him, I will hang on him. He has promised he will never fail. His faithfulness is forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore.
Our Father, you are the constant variable. You are the constant factor. You are the constant person that does not change nor alter in nature. Your faithfulness extends to all generations. Your capacity and ability to help is unfathomable. The problem is with us that changes. The problem is with us because of our unstableness. I am praying, Lord of heaven, for help and grace, that you will have mercy, you will forgive us of an unbelief and for our life of self-sufficiency, that even from this day you will help us to start acknowledging you in everything we'll do in the name of Jesus. We will stop going down to Egypt for help. We will stop relying upon the arm of flesh for our strength. We will stop trusting in chariots and horses. We will begin directing our thoughts and our trust to you, that is the author of everything. Lord of heaven, will bring us into the life of adventure as we see you unfold your power, as we see you release your might on our behalf. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to prove himself strong on behalf of them whose heart are steadfast on him. I pray, Father, that you will help our hearts to remain focused on you in the name of Jesus. Father, those who will be writing the exam starting tomorrow, you will help them. They will be focused. As they start, they will see your help in the midst of those challenges. Those who have failed in the past, you will turn around their stories. And Lord, you will help them, that there will be no stagnancy in our lives in the name of Jesus.
those who are believing you for this week, as we go this week, Father, let your presence go with us. Help us as we confront the challenges of the days and the weeks ahead. In the name of Jesus, we honor and give you the praise, because we are praised together with thanksgiving in our heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you.
That you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pdtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Diocesis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pgtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you. It's your grace.